Hi, Eddie Murphy here, tax partner of Crowley's DFK, joined today with Niall Grant and Siobhan O'Hay, fellow tax partners, to discuss Budget 2022, just delivered by Ministers Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath. So in terms of this budget, it obviously was very well leaked in advance, so no major surprises. But I guess the context to it was Budget 2020 was the budget where we were all preparing for Brexit. Last year's budget, it was the response to the pandemic that was gripping the country and the world. And 12 months later, we find ourselves looking at Budget 2022, where from an economic perspective, we're in a very different place. You know, a really seismic change around in fortunes, it would appear. Our employment in the country is expected to be higher than it was at pre-pandemic levels, and our growth prospects estimated next year between 5% and 6%. So I guess, look, that gave some headroom additional to perhaps what was flagged in terms of the budget measures. But look, to help us kind of break down some of those measures, we might delve into some of the areas. Niall, in terms of personal tax and other various items that came up in the budget, what did you pull from it that might be of interest?
Well, I guess the budget itself is on the back of the exit and the COVID restrictions. We have mounting global climate change challenges. There's an ever-increasing housing crisis, and then we have looming inflation fears. So from a personal tax point of view, the standard rate bands have increased by 1,500, and the tax credits have increased by a paltry 50 euro, which brings them up to 1,700. Like, that's really to allay the inflationary fears. So it's not really the usual tax cut that everybody is receiving. It's more trying to assist with the increase in energy bills, etc., that everybody's going to suffer in the next 12 months. There's one good thing, although it's probably the devil's in the detail when the finance bill is announced, is the 30% relief on vouched expenses for heat, electricity and broadband for those working at home. That's a good thing if it's not done the way they currently have it done, that they brought in for 2020. So hopefully it's a little bit more streamlined, because the existing one isn't being valued, or I don't think that many people are actually claiming it. Other items, the universal social charge, the second rate band has slightly increased to 21,295. It's not a whole lot really. Finally then, on the finance bill, is said to re-examine some amendments to section 127B. Won't be affect an awful lot of people, but it does affect the taxation of international air crews, especially those that are non-resident. So I think there might be something there, because a lot of, at the moment, if the airline is based in Ireland, it's going to be liable to payroll taxes regardless of the residency status of the air crew. So they obviously are looking at that. Maybe it's just to help that industry recover.
Yeah, I think that was pretty a small item, but interesting nonetheless. You know, it seems to me it harks back to the days of kind of state-owned airlines, and I think that would have been the origin of it, which is, you know, a changing landscape. Yeah, just in terms of the working from home claimability of the credit, yeah, I think it's a valid point. The collection and operation of tax, you know, it should be easy. And I think a lot of people are questioning, even it sounds, you know, quite generous, 30%, a trebling of the current claim, when you prorate it to the number of days at home or whatever, you know, people are anticipating maybe 50, 60 euro. So yeah. I think there'll be a real choice to be made of whether it's valid or not, to actually, you know, go to the trouble as such. Time will tell, I guess. Siobhan, in terms of maybe turning to VAT or anything there for the farmers or capital taxes, had Budget 2022, anything to say in those areas?
It has some things to say. There wasn't a massive amount of change in either of those areas. the big change on VAT, or I suppose the big announcement on VAT, was that the 9% rate for the hospitality sector is going to continue until the end of August 22. And I think the big question there for those in the hospitality sector is whether that is long enough. Like, yes, August 22, you know, will take them up to the end of that summer season. But is it long enough to enable them to be competitive on an international market and to recover from the pandemic? You know, the hospitality sector is one of the sectors that's been hit hardest by COVID. And there is a question mark there, certainly, as to whether increasing that VAT rate from 9% with effect from the 1st of September 2022 is going to put those smaller businesses under too much pressure.
I've heard that kind of commentary. People are saying, yeah, like, you know, we've got one more season effectively from the retail, but is it enough? Yeah.
Is it enough? Yeah. And I suppose for those of us, you know, who've booked holidays in Ireland over 2021, some of the prices were fairly high, and you would think that some of the hotels, certainly that were back open again, are doing well. But I understand that their occupancy rates annually for 2021 are particularly low. So what it seems from the outside isn't exactly the case when you're looking at the hospitality sector on a per annum level. The agri sector, underwhelming is a word that springs to mind. Many of the existing relief schemes have been rolled forward into 2022. So I suppose particularly those reliefs for young trained farmers, the stamp duty relief and the enhanced stock relief, with the Department of Agriculture or the minister saying that the Department of Agriculture is confident that those enhanced stock reliefs for young trained farmers and farm partnerships will be able to continue beyond 2022. And what's stopping them automatically continuing them there is that those stock reliefs are considered state aid from an EU perspective. So they have to get EU confirmation that it's in order to continue them. General stock relief then is going to continue until 2024. So that's all good. And that's all kind of it really for the farming sector and for the agri sector. Not a lot there, I suppose, in particular when you consider that farmers are particularly affected by the carbon taxes change. So there's not a lot there to offset perhaps some of the increased costs for the agri sector.
Well, there was very little on kind of capital taxes. There was a little more for the corporates, you know, on corporation tax and for companies operating within Ireland. Obviously, the budget came on foot of the very recent announcement that we were signing up as a country to the kind of OECD led 15% corporation tax. So that's kind of a headline in itself. But I suppose it was reassuring again to hear it reiterated that really the 12.5% corporation tax will indeed remain, you know, for the vast majority of companies operating in Ireland, and that unless your turnover is over that 750 million mark, which, you know, in 90% of cases it isn't, well, then it is the 12.5% remaining. And, you know, with a few days of that announcement coming out and a bit of perspective starting to come into the conversation, I guess, you know, now, ironically, there might be more certainty at the 12.5% tax rate than we thought we had, I guess, for the last number of years, because, you know, we're all aware of the pressures Ireland was coming under to look at that rate. But there were some other moves, I guess, and changes for corporates. What was welcomed was a tax credit for digital games introduced. Yes. So that's something new and something, I guess, designed to encourage employment in the digital arts sector, and it works by way of a kind of a refundable tax credit of 32% of your spend on projects that are designing, producing, and testing of games. So like, there's max project limits of 25 million and various rules around it, but it does seem a good stimulus and give impetus to that section. In another relief that was kind of adapted and extended was the EIS, Employment Investment Scheme. So that, you know, it's quite a popular scheme and we're all, you know, well used to people looking at this as an option for fundraising. But it's nice to see that, you know, they have widened the kind of qualifying company criteria to include more type of investment funds that might then invest in EIS type companies, and also getting rid of the 30% expenditure requirement that was there. And we know from experience that, you know, at a minimum, it was an admin headache for startup companies having to track that expenditure and make sure it was spent within the 2 years. There was also an extension to 5-year period from 3 for startup company relief for corporation tax. So again, I'm sure you've seen a lot of companies in their startup phase, you know, really avail of this corporation tax relief, and nice to see that extended as well. But just two other ones, just on the corporate before we move off, you know, some of the two kind of heavier pieces on it was there was an introduction of an interest limitation rule. So this is, again, kind of tied to our commitments under the anti-tax avoidance measures that as a country we've signed up to. So whereas the 12.5% rate or the 15% rate, I should say, applies to companies over 750 million. In fact, it's limiting of the interest deductibility, you know, linked to 30% of your earnings for the company. There are no de minimis limits, no thresholds to be applied. So in fact, it's far more wide ranging than you might expect. So I think that may apply to companies who are, you know, using debt to finance their operations. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll see a lot more focus on that, you know, once the finance bill comes out and we get into the practicalities of it next year and beyond. And there was, again, probably, you know, minority sport in terms of anti-reverse hybrid rules. Again, in essence, looking at companies and groups who use different jurisdictions to find kind of tax advantage and seeking ways to eliminate that advantage by a company being, or an entity being deemed to be transparent perhaps in one jurisdiction and opaque in another. So for those transparent type entities in Ireland, once this is enacted, you know, they'll be subject to corporation tax. So it'll be interesting to see what companies do in that regard in terms of restructuring or what measures they'll take going forward. But in terms of the other measures in the budget, Niall, I suppose climate, you touched on it earlier. It was a big feature, wasn't it?
Well, it was a big feature leading up to it, but I'm not sure the announcements were as wide sweeping as originally anticipated. Like, you've got a carbon tax has gone up by €7.50 per tonne for the annually now until 2030. There's the big headline topic was from January, there is going to be 20 new VRT bans, obviously to encourage the acquisition of lower CO2 emission cars. So the rate's going to be from 1% to 4%. So we'll see what that entails. The other one that wasn't mentioned in this speech by the minister, but it's in the publication, is that the existing exemption of 50,000 for BIK electric vehicles, currently you don't pay BIK if it's if the value of the car is less than 50,000, or rather should I say you pay the excess over 50 is what you pay your BIK.
That was a bit
on.
Surprising, wasn't it?
It was incentivizing. Yeah, it's slotted in. Maybe it's a reflection that originally the cars were very expensive, electric vehicles, and now the cost is coming down and there's a wider range of them. So they're not high-end electric vehicles anymore. So those thinking that actually I can buy a very expensive model of an electric vehicle, not pay BIK on it, that's going to now ratchet down from the existing 50,000 to in 2025 it's only going to be 10,000 of a limit, And anything over that, then you pay your normal BIK.
Your BIK on. That's harsh in view of the government strategy.
Yeah, I wonder will there be much kickback on it, you know.
Not sure about that. I think that might sort of, it could kick back, but I might wonder whether it, because it wasn't announced by the minister, it'd be one of those things that flows in and not many people realise it.
What happens about cars that were purchased before budget day?
Well,
for BIK in 2022, 2023?
Well, that'd be interesting enough to see, because it's based on your original market value. So I assume it's still going to, your original market value was 60,000. The threshold in 2025 is 10. You're going to pay 50 BIK on 50,000. I assume that that's going to apply. Thankfully, they didn't change the mower tax, which would have affected older vehicles. They've left that alone. I would have thought they would have, with all the, you know, the media attention on the climate change and that they would have really gone to town on older, higher diesel emission vehicles. Well, not even the diesel, but any higher emission vehicles that they would have really seriously punished them, but they've left them alone.
Okay.
Interesting.
But there's one other small one that you can now sell excess electricity back to the grid. A household can do this, should I say, up to a maximum of €200, and you won't pay tax on it. So all those that have their own wind generating farms can.
Yeah, fear not. The €200 is yours. I think when people were discussing this, you know, I've heard even since last night, you know, it's that ability to be able to sell the electricity back to the grid is probably the real issue there, and not the taxation of any income on that surplus electricity being generated by many households across the country.
I guess the last one that they've mentioned is that there is accelerated capital allowances for energy efficient equipment, but they announced that that will be denied where the actual equipment is powered or by fossil fuels. So
okay,
obviously looking more broadly at how the energy efficient equipment is actually being run. So I don't know how that works if you're being powered by, if that energy efficient equipment is actually being powered by electricity off the grid. How does that work? I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see. I presume it must be directly powered by fossil fuels, like a generator going on.
Well, we can definitely see the pathway of travel, I guess, in terms of greener and climate for sure. And it's something I think fully supported. It's just a matter of how to affect it and the rate of change. To touch on perhaps, Siobhan, the COVID, you know, measures, a lot of talk before it as to whether people will be left, you know, on that cliff edge or not, businesses who are relying on these supports. Did that turn out to be the case?
Well, the wage supports, the EWSS is going to continue until April 22, although it will be closed to new entrants from the 31st of December. So there isn't going to be a cliff edge in that it's going to continue and then will be tapered down. The level of payments will be tapered down until it finishes completely in April 22. To those people, you know, that feel that isn't fair, the government was saying, you know, that in a lot of countries these schemes are being shut down now. So I think from the government's perspective, they feel like they're giving the retail and the hospitality and those affected sectors an opportunity to get back on their feet before the scheme stops completely in April 22. That was the main COVID-related support, is the wage supports. The VAT for the hospitality sectors, you know, was also part of those COVID-supporting measures. And I suppose just the final point for the self-assessed income taxpayers, which was particularly relevant for us as practitioners, is that for those income taxpayers whose companies have warehoused their debt, those income taxpayers, and if they have a material interest in their companies, will be able to also warehouse their income tax liabilities. So for us as practitioners coming up to income tax filing deadline, that was a hot topic for us, because many of our company directors whose companies would have warehoused their PAYE and VAT liabilities were now being faced with having to pay the income tax because they weren't getting that PAYE tax credit. So that's certainly welcome news in advance of the income tax filing.
Yeah,
deadline.
For sure. I'm aware of many people who are worried about that. And it was just kind of a practical consideration coming up.
Yes.
And coming to file that income tax return. So glad to see that there. Well, guys, thanks for, having the opportunity today to just discuss budget 2022. I think you referred earlier, Niall, that the devil is in the detail. so we will get more of that detail on the 21st of October when the finance bill is published. And then I guess we can reconvene and take a look at what that unveils. Okay, bye for now.